The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
This is where we switch gears now as we get to our interview that is started this morning. Again, if you're just joining us, my name is Davey Murray, and I'm holding it down for my good colleague and co-worker Tosca this morning. As I said earlier, she's out in assignment. So we're switching gears as we turn our attention to our interview this morning with Miss Khan, who is a dietitian and nutritionist. And we're going to be talking along the lines this morning as it deals with, just want to get that information for you all again, all right, as it has to do with the myths about weight loss and diabetes. Yeah, that's it. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yes. Hi, good morning. How are you?
I am okay. I lost some weight and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. What's happening on your end?
I'm excited about this morning's topic because honestly, in terms of topics to cover with nutrition, there's so many and there's a lot of myths when it comes to lifestyle diseases, really and truly, because a lot of people think that they know a lot when it comes to diabetes management and when it comes to weight loss. And I think one of the most popular misconceptions is about sugar. And a lot of people think, okay, if I want to lose weight, I cannot eat sugar. If I have diabetes, I cannot eat sugar. Now, it's completely impossible and to avoid like sugar on the whole, because at the end of the day, you have to understand that carbs are essential for your brain and all your organs to function. If you're talking about granulated sugar, I completely understand. Yes, if you just sit and eat a spoon of granulated sugar, your sugars will spike, and yes, it will of course lead to weight gain. But I mean, overall, food groups are important to understand, and balance is very important when it comes to managing your weight and managing diabetes. Carbs are essential. So thinking that, okay, I know I can't eat fruits because I'm diabetic, on fruit sugars, yes, they are. But overall, they are classified as a complex carb because they do have fiber, right? Same as gram per vision, same as, you know, whole wheat bread, whole grain rice, plantain, cassava. All these things are great sources of carbs which provide our body with energy. And the truth is, at the end of the day, you could cut out fruits and you will still be diabetic. Your sugars are still spiking. So it is not the fruit's fault. You could cut out carbs and your sugars will still be elevating. You could do the same for your weight and you will still not get the results you want.
Wow.
So I think that is one of the major myths about carbs and fearing sugar for weight and, you know, diabetes. But it is one of the most important macronutrients that our body needs for energy, and our organs really cannot function without it. So the best way to consume carbs is, you know, not alone. So for example, combinations, and this is something I always have to touch on when I have my personalized nutrition therapy sessions with my clients. When you think of fruits, what do you want to have it with? So like, we have chow, which is amazing. What's your favorite chow, for example?
Me, I love mango, boy.
Nice.
I'm a mango and pineapple chow guy. I eat and right now you talk that and my mouth watering.
Right. So in other words, you know, think of what else you could pair with it. And I love cucumber and pineapple.
Of course.
I think that combination is so refreshing.
I think cucumber, anything is refreshing.
Exactly. And cucumber is a vegetable. And pairing that with your fruit in a chow, for example, just as an example of a nice snack, that helps to regulate your blood sugars. And it will help you with your weight goals overall because you're adding vegetables to your fruits. Vegetables have little to no calories. They have high fiber and they help to reduce the sugar spikes and helps you with your metabolism and boosting your energy and boosting your mood overall. So that's just one trick, if you're worried or you're scared about eating carbs, that you could try to help to bust that myth, right? Another myth is about, you know, some people might look small and they'll be like, no, well, you don't have any lifestyle issue because you already look small. You don't need to lose any weight or anything like that. Now, when it comes to the core of your body, when it comes to visceral fat, which is the fat around your organs, it has nothing to do with the way you look. Nothing. Someone could look buff and, you know, or muscled, and their visceral fat is through the roof and they have diabetes.
What?
You know what I mean? Yeah, it has nothing to do with your appearance. What matters is what's going on internally. So usually clients would ask, like, well, how would they know their body fat and their visceral fat? Now, there's a scale called the body composition assessment scale. I have it at the store at Didi's, and it's only $50 to get done if you want to. I think some gyms do have, like, there's a monitor where you stand up and you hold it and it will give you like your body fat percent and stuff like that. But it's important to know, and you could also definitely do blood tests because it has nothing to do with the way you look. You could have a lot of body fat internally and look fit, and it's really and truly about your nutrition. It's not about your looks. It's about your eating habits. That is the best way to manage your weight and manage your blood sugars when it comes to diabetes management. So that leads me to my other myth, that diabetes and weight loss is a lifestyle issue. So that means if you eat your way into it, you can eat your way out of it. And that's what I always preach and that's what I always say. So yes, when you eat, your weight is directly impacted. When you eat, your sugars are directly impacted. So what you put into your body is vital, all right? So every single day, your daily lifestyle, your daily routine, your daily habits can actually either add to your weight goals, or it could take you away from it. And it could either add to helping you to better manage and overcome the lifestyle disease, or it could be adding to it. And I'm telling you, cutting out things is not going to help, and it does not lead to a happier and healthier version of yourself. And forcing yourself to think that, well, I have to eat correctly. Oh gosh, people tell me correctly is good for diabetes, but I hate it. Even people who don't eat correctly may not have diabetes, and people who eat correctly may have diabetes. So it's not correctly either. You understand? I think a lot of the times too, what's very common, because I had a few consultations where I'm like, oh my goodness, this is terrible to think. But I completely understand that you want to just lose 50 weight pounds like that. I get it. You want to lose your weight fast, but it's impossible overnight. Like, you didn't get here overnight. You want to overcome diabetes just like that. But it's impossible. You develop these lifestyle issues over years. It was not just, oh, I ate cake last night and my sugars are now spiking and I'm diabetic. No, you have, this is the whole issue. Like, diabetes, you could live with it and not even know that you have it. And a lot of people will only know when they do tests. And that's why I always recommend, you know, just double check your values. Just do a finger prick. If you have, because I think a lot of people have loved ones who, so if they have like a little machine, just double check when they check in, see what your value is like, because you get zero signs and symptoms. There's the only way to verify is your blood test. That's the only way. There's no way to look at someone and say, yep, you're diabetic, you know.
True.
Your sugars are high and this and that, whatever. Of course they're precursors, but at the end of the day, you have to look at the fact of the situation, and you should definitely do your blood test to verify that you are diabetic. And in terms of your weight goals, you know, nutrition is key for both. So at the end of the day, you can overcome your lifestyle issue, but it doesn't take just one habit. It is not an overnight process. It takes time. You know, it's not something that you could just say, yeah, okay, well, you know what? Do this, do that, and do the other. And yeah, it would turn out, well, you know, if you practice this for the rest of your life, you should be good. No. No. And that's why so many people are still diabetic. And if you keep leaving it prolonged, pairing that with other lifestyle diseases like high blood pressure can lead to kidney disease and kidney failure. And that is one of the scariest parts of the lifestyle diseases, I think, because you cannot survive without your organs. You need your organs to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kidneys filter the blood. So when you do damage to the kidneys, it reaches stage 5, it's completely irreversible. That's not, you're going to have to go on dialysis, and you're going to have to be dependent on a machine to then filter your blood for you. Whereas you could prevent that just by making sure you double check your values, and then you start investing in the right information.
I know you're no doctor, but you're saying that this kidney disease that people are suffering from. I just read a story about a guy, a 42-year-old who passed away, and he had, you know, it was renal kidney failure. So he was waiting on a transplant. So you're saying that some of these things that we are experiencing in our lifestyles can attribute. So a person can have normal kidneys and then, according to their lifestyle, can end up having that. It's not something hereditary.
100,000%. And I'm very happy that you asked that, because that's another myth. No, it is not hereditary.
Wow.
And kidney disease, the most common, because we have a lot of cases in Trinidad and Tobago, which is sad, because, and it frustrates me, because I know that it's a lifestyle created issue and I could help prevent this issue, but it's just the misinformation is preventing people from reaching out and getting help and getting guidance. But kidney disease, you see, is tiny little blood vessels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when pressure is elevated, when there's a lot of sugar in your blood, and it does damage, and you cannot, like, you're not doing anything. Like, the pills are making it worse because they have side effects which destroy your organs anyway, right? So if you're taking meds for lifestyle diseases, it's destroying your organs. On top of that, you don't understand the nutrition, and you don't understand how to eat to bring your sugars and your pressure down. So that is also doing damage. And once it does damage, you have different stages. If you catch it early on, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3,
mm-hmm.
100%, you could save your life. You could save your kidneys, because the basics with my clients is, like, as soon as they start the programs and they start getting the results within the first month, they could wean off of their tablets and reconfirm with their blood test that they are no longer, they no longer have diabetes. They'll reconfirm that their kidney functionality is improving. Their percent is going back up because they have overcome their pressure and sugar, which is the cause of their kidney failure and kidney issues. So again, nutrition is so, so, so impactful and so important.
Mm-hmm.
And much of us take it for granted, and we have to be able to be open to learning, because at the end of the day, if you don't want to learn, you'd never be able to get a happy and healthy body, and you'll never be able to overcome your lifestyle diseases. So there's a lot of myths out there, and it's really, really good that we could clear some today for our listeners, because I think it could save a few of us in the future. Because there's way too much, and it really does prevent everyone from being able to get the proper guidance and the proper advice, you know, when it comes to these things. But detrimental health outcomes, is one of them is definitely kidney failure, and that is the most common result of uncontrolled diabetes and of course pressure, and, you know, your weight could contribute to that as well. Yeah, some scary things.
Listen, you have just raised some very, very serious concerns there. You said somebody, because, you know, somebody who is, you know, skinny, thin, doesn't have, but, you know, you will tend to tell, well, you know, you don't need to lose no weight. You probably not diabetic. You probably normal, because they look physically normal. But what you're saying, that can only be an outward appearance. They can be having some serious. Now, as a dietitian, nutritionist, you are both?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because I know there's a stark difference between the two.
Yes. and this is the whole issue. Like, someone was like, oh, you're just a nutritionist. Why I have to pay you $5?
So dietitian, I know there's a difference. And I mean, for the benefit of our listening audiences, can you identify the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist?
Yes. Yes, sure. Let me explain. It's completely our educational background, right? So I did my degree, I did my internship, and then I did my master's. You have to be able to qualify to be registered with the board. right, with specific qualifications. The nutritionist, sometimes this will be registered.
Oh, pause. Okay, yeah. So what you just explained there with your studies, the academics behind it, that is for a dietitian. So a dietitian has to, so that's like a pharmacist and a doctor, because to be a pharmacist, you have to do some kind of medical studies.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So we'll get to that. Yes. So the difference with the dietitian, you're qualified with your degree.
Correct.
Right. Go ahead now.
Yes. So some people could just call themselves a nutritionist if they just do a short course online. The end, full stop. That's it. So it's not, it has no weight behind it in terms of their knowledge and how, like, what they know. They could read an article and then they'll be like, and they do a couple short courses online, which could be free. And they could just be like, yeah, I'm a nutritionist. I did some courses, and it has no weight behind it. Some of us could be educated and they could become registered. But if they're not registered, they really could just do anything online and just say, yeah, I know some information. I read some articles.
Well, then it's our real people is nutrition. I'm a nutritionist. I could tell you, well, eat some potatoes with some broccoli and a little bit of beef. Not too much. Or some lean chicken and, you know, let's take a phone call. Hello, good morning. Sorry.
Evie boy.
Good morning.
Yes.
No, I have a question, right? I wasn't, I have been dealing with these things, and I wasn't the writing from a doctor to carry to the drugstore or the pharmacy, right? And there's no letters, it might have numbers. It's just a scribbling. Do they make any mistake? How do they know? Right, it's like a musical instrument when you have a sound wave. Yeah, exactly.
I know.
No letters telling you it's Panadol. There's no word for Panadol or pharmaceutical or anything like that. It's just a star waves. I don't know. Yeah. I'll listen off it.
All right. Well, I can answer that question in short form. A pharmacist, they trained in a different type of area where they can read what is known, what I will call shorthand. So those doctors will write something on that form there that is, to the untrained public eye, you may not be able to understand. But that's why the pharmacists are trained. A pharmacist is different to a pharmaceutical a pharmacist technician or a technician in a pharmacy, who, under the guise of a pharmacist, will be able to fill a prescription. But the pharmacists and a pharmacy, the antibiotics room, there are some companies, no one is allowed in that controlled area unless a pharmacist is on duty and present in there. Some pharmacies, especially the bigger ones, they'll tell you that you the staff come to work, but if the pharmacist who is head and who is in control is not in the pharmacy to go there in that particular area, other staff cannot go in there because it's controlled drugs. All right, it's not the OTCs, it's controlled drugs. So they are trained to read what I will call shorthand, those things. They do train. Yeah. There's a specific way they write an A or X. The pharmacists are trained to do that, to read it. And that is what the difference, I mean, we would from time to time, I interview persons, and I always ask, for the benefit of the audience, you know, because we tend to forget what's the difference between this and that and the other. So it's not the first time I would have asked somebody who is a dietitian to explain to us what it is. And what I get from everyone, including your good self, is that it all boils down to academics. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Calling from Durbasa Trace in Pinal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a self-taught dietitian. I've taught myself from videos by doctors that went to medical school who support the vegan approach.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow flexibility because it's not a religious or ethical position. Well, one or two of them lean that way, but by and large, it's about nutrition and health more than ethics and religion and that kind of thing. And before that, I had struggled with my weight between 200 and 220 for many years. Now I'm down to 165, stable and going down. So I'm sticking with that. And all my blood tests are good. My doctor is happy. He said, you have something that works. And the approach in medicine is, if something is working, there might be some twist there that they don't pick up from what you're saying, but you have something that's working, you're healthy over a long period. I'm a diabetic. I'm going to be 65 in April. And I've never been healthier in the last 40 years. So I'm saying that now I call myself, although I'm not totally vegan, I'm almost totally vegan. I give myself fish oil and so on. I take a little yogurt from time to time to address the microbiome issues. I'm sticking with that. I call myself sensible, educated, intelligent vegan. I understand the science. It's aimed at people like me, the presentations by these vegan-oriented doctors. So I want to thank you for the work that you are doing. But a lot more people should get interested and try to get this education that is freely available. You're giving some here, you know, but are people paying attention? I want your comment. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And that speaks to the credibility of what you said, Ms. Khan, you know, in terms of him being self-taught, teaching himself. Look, Jody White is a nutritionist. He could tell you what to drink. And, you know, we as Trinidadians, we always give you that, you know, what we just call the bush lawyer, bush doctor advice.
Yeah.
You have a bush nutritionist too, you know. You ever hear somebody tell you, hey, go home and eat some karaili and boil two okra and see if you could season some pimentos with sweet peppers. Eat that. And you will feel good.
Again, my way, right? Because this is the whole thing. I understand completely. A lot of people will do something that they Google and they'll say it worked for them and all this. And that's fine. And whatever you want to do is your choice because it's your life. At the end of the day, what I promote is healthy, sustainable eating through an all foods fit concept. No pills, no supplements, no restrictions, no diets. I want to empower and educate all my clients to learn and understand how to enjoy all their favorite foods in safe ways so that they overcome their lifestyle disease and they achieve their weight goals and maintain it long term. It has less to do with restrictions and diets and following things online and more to do with a personalized approach with nutrition. And honestly, come back to the first caller, when I get, sometimes I get referrals and it's be like, that's a terrible thing. And as we did, I'd be like, all you know, here. Sometimes the doctor's notes, and they do it like that because, of course, they don't want you to be able to copy it or create any, you know, fraudulent prescriptions and stuff like that. But hey, I feel that very, very much. Sometimes I really don't understand the scribble myself. And the clients, the customers, they would have to tell me exactly what their goals are, what they want to achieve with the nutrition consultations.
All right.
But yes.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask three questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is substituting regular bread and roti with keto bread and keto flatbread and keto bread. The second one is her opinion on stem cells. And the third one is her opinion on intermittent fasting for diabetic. All those three for diabetic.
All okay. right. You remember those three questions? Because I remember the last one.
So, so keto, let's talk about it.
All right.
Now, again, it goes back to what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't promote diets. So all of my clients who come to me, I teach them how to balance their meals. They do not have to cut out. So replacing flour, listen, flour is, roti is great. Keto things is just a whole marketing scheme. You spend a lot of money on something when you could just control, basically learn how to portion control. Because when you eat roti, what do you eat it with? Do you like roti? I don't know.
Love roti.
Right. So what do you eat roti?
I eat in roti with goat. I eat in roti with chicken. I eat in roti with shrimp. I just eat in roti. The one thing I can't do is eat a veggie roti. I cannot do that. Because I tried it once, and by my third bite, my mouth, my brain was saying, at this point, I'm supposed to bite a piece of meat. At this point, right. by my third bite. And then it frustrates my trait when I went back and buy a chicken roti.
All right. So in terms of like those things, all I want you to do is just make sure you have your favorite veggie with it. That's it. So if you like roti and chicken or whatever meat, you have your little pumpkin or your bag, whatever cooked veg or so then, salad or cucumbers on the side.
So then, let me ask you a question. Persons who are vegans, I'm still trying to understand the difference between a vegetarian or a vegan. Yeah. Somebody say, I'm not a vegetarian, I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
What is the difference?
So with vegans, it is more strict. They totally cut out the food from animals food group. So then that is the only type of lifestyle that I would say you may need supplementation, because you are missing an entire food group that your body needs.
Well, that was bringing up to my next question. Okay, go ahead and explain and I'll ask you my next question.
Yeah, because there's certain nutrients in food from animals that you're not going to get from any other food group. Yes, you could get protein and you could probably try to balance with the other food groups. But like B12, for example, you're not going to get that. So you have to be very, very careful with the vegan lifestyle. You may need to be more aware of the food groups. You may need to be more strict with your balances and combinations just to make sure you get the protein quality that you need. But there's no other... I mean, the plant-based protein quality would be like soy and tofu. But there's nothing else that would have that quality protein that you would get from the food from animals. Vegetarians, however, do eat food from animals. They might just not eat the meat or fish. They might just have like egg or milk or cheese or something like that. And so they could still have a balanced, sustainable life with the vegetarian lifestyle and including the food from animals plus all the other food groups that there are in the Caribbean. So that is how, like, you know, the vegan, vegetarian lifestyles could still work out together for sure.
All right. So my question, okay, thank you so much. I don't mean to cut you, but I just want to get the information in now. Now, I'm grateful that you identify between a vegan and a vegetarian. Now, how much damage, are you damaging yourself when you do not eat meat or meat-based products on a whole? Now, somebody told me that you can take other supplements to, you know, balance your diet. But are you doing harm or are you doing much good? You know, I don't eat meat, so I'm doing real good. You know, is that something that we could safely say?
No. So here's the thing, right? If you grew up and you were trained from young, like, okay, you have this vegan lifestyle, your family has it, and it's your belief. No problem. I could work with you to help you to create a better balance. Yes, you're cutting out an entire food group. Yes, you're going to miss nutrients. And I would never say that I would tell somebody who eats meat, hey, vegan lifestyle has benefits. Eat vegan. No. Right? So it's not that a vegan lifestyle, in my opinion, is ever going to trump any other lifestyle. What you have to understand, there are food groups, right? We need all. Once you create a balance with all food groups every single day, you get all the right colors and combinations. So legumes, staples, food from animals, fruits, vegetables, fats and oils, you get everything you need. Your body needs to survive and your body needs to be able to function in a happy and healthy state. That equals a high quality life, because you feel good enjoying all of your favorite things and traveling and eating everything that you want, but you understand how to create a better sustainable balance with the right portions and combinations. So then you eat to feel good, you eat to feel, to overcome your lifestyle issue and to maintain that at bay. So even when I have clients and I check them in a year or two, the lifestyle issue, it never comes back. It never does. Because again, they understand and they develop that sustainable way of eating with an all foods fit concept.
Okay.
If you...
Okay, yeah. I have a text with a question for you. Can a woman 66 years old, 5 feet 1 inch tall, 110 pounds, lower their cholesterol without losing weight or getting smaller?
100,000,000%.
Wow.
So again, this is what I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I focus on lifestyle diseases. So you could always, you know, reach out on social media or WhatsApp 480-5380. But at the end of the day, all of my clients, if it's pressure, sugar, cholesterol, weight, acid reflux, gut issues, they overcome it with nutrition. I tell you, it takes an average of 3 months. At least give me that, because, I mean, you've been doing this for years. You've had lifestyle disease for years. Give me at least 3 months. But usually, within the first few weeks, they feel and they get results. And then when they do back their test, they would see for themselves that the values are dropping. And it has nothing to do with the meds. They actually wean themselves off the meds. They go back to the doctors with the test, the blood test, to show as evidence, hey, I don't need pills anymore.
Wow.
I have, you know, my I've overcome and reversed my issue. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of nutrition. What you have to understand, again, back to the myths from today,
mm-hmm.
it's not just one thing. And that's why I say 3 months. It takes about 20 days to develop a habit and 90 days to create it into our lifestyle. So I have to work with you to make sure that whatever you are doing that's creating a lifestyle issue, we correct it. This is personalized, not generalized. Because general info is never going to work. It's never going to apply to your situation. It's never going to help you to achieve your goals at the end of the day.
Well, I want to thank you very much for passing through this morning with us. And I personally will call because I found that I started losing my weight and my size. But what I did, I didn't cut out meats and all these things. I just started drinking more water. Room temperature water.
Yeah, so hydration, very important.
I have been doing that for months now, and I have seen the results, you know. I have been drinking more water.
That is good. So that means that you were probably very dehydrated.
Well, Yana, I didn't realize the importance of it. And earlier, mid last year, somebody suggested it to me. And I wouldn't, I ain't gonna lie, when I first started to drink, you know, what size is this? I have one in the studio here with me. The bottle water is about 355 ml, right?
No. All right.
They were saying that you need to drink 8 ounces a day or something to that effect, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Eight glasses. So I say, wait, boy. So I took up the 350 ml and the 355 ml, and I tried to drink two in that, and I nearly passed out. Because I start to feel this kind of water, my belly feeling bloated.
And then I
decide to stick with it. So I start off with one bottle before I brush my teeth in the morning. That was advice. Then you brush your teeth and you do your thing and you get your coffee. And then after that, or your tea, whatever you drink, and you get the next bottle. And I started. Mm-hmm. And I found that during the day, when I just started it sometime last year, July, August, I would have reached somewhere in the vicinity of 3 bottles a day.
Okay.
And I find, they say, that's not good enough. And then I push, I keep going. It took about a few days later, and I reached 4.
Yeah, you see?
Now I'm at 8.
This is a habit that you are building, and that is perfection. You take it slow, you take it steady.
Right, realistic goals. So now I'm at 8, but there's a process for me to reach 8 bottles or 7 bottles per day.
Exactly.
I have to... Right, but I had to, if I want to reach my maximum of 8 bottles per day, what I have to do, what I will do, I'll start in the morning when I get up, but by midday... I must reach 4.
Right.
If by midday I reach 4 bottles, I will make the remaining 3 or 4 by afternoon. But if by 1, 2 o'clock I now reach my 4th bottle, I might make it. So my goal is always to catch them 4 bottles by 11, 12. And then the remaining 3. And what I found happening, I rail in the bathroom.
Yeah. No, that's real good because honestly, drinking to lose weight is very important as well. You know, so as you drink your water and you hydrate your body, you can get rid of your water weight in that way, and it's always going to be good. Water has 0 calories, so your body needs it to survive. Your eyes, your brain, your lungs, your liver, your blood is made up of over 80% water. So I'm very happy that you noticed that and you said that, and I hope everybody increases their water.
I rail drinking water. I can't tell you when last I actually had a glass of juice per se, because I eaten food, whatever I'm having, I usually just, and I don't want it cold. For some reason, I can no longer stomach a bottle of cold water like before. It's give me room temperature, and I'm happy with that.
Real
happy.
Sticking to your preference. Once you're encouraged to drink more, that is the goal. Because again, water. But super hydrating, very important to include.
I thoroughly enjoyed this very animated and spirited conversation. I do hope I hold on Tosca's shift again in the future and I get a chance to speak with you. If not, I'm going to talk to the producers. You will come on my show in the afternoon and we'll have more conversations and dialogue. So thank you again. Be safe and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.